Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the circus. Cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who's visibly excited about spring coming to Michigan. It's Eric Wayne.
I am. You speak the truth. My whole body is like reacting in funny ways to the warmth. You know, I'm just like an adult butterfly emerging from a chrysalis.
On a scale of like 1 to 10, how much do you trust like this version of spring?
It's the end of April. I better trust some of it. Like, the Earth's tilted axis is pretty undefeated, and the revolutions around the sun kind of happen faithfully.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 50-50 thing. Are we going into the next ice age, or are we going into summer? We'll see. Jury's out. go ahead.
You could like sacrifice a virgin or something. Do you believe in kind of the agriculture of fertility gods here? You know,
I personally don't, but I guess more power to you if you do.
You seem a little uncertain about the changing of the seasons, so.
Well, Northern Michigan.
You can help it along.
We'll do that to you.
Yeah, I suppose.
We went up to Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes on Saturday, went for a hike, and it was crazy because we, like, trekked through, I don't know, a couple inches of snow, like, both ways, and there's snow, and yet it's 55 degrees out, and the sun is shining down on Lake Michigan, kind of making that, like, summer turquoisey color on the water. It was a very I don't know, out of season and interesting juxtaposition.
Wow. Yeah. It's right out of a postcard. Yeah. Working for the TC Tourist Board.
I should be. They should pay me. So, Eric, you're a man who watches a lot of Fox Sports Detroit. Are you not?
I do.
Have you seen the onslaught of commercials there for concerts and like events coming up in Michigan recently? Like, there's a lot of them.
No. Well, oh, yeah, because they have like the special plugs for it. Like Jimmy Buffett was a thing last year, you know, and the Coral Reefer Band. Get it? Yeah. So yeah, I see the commercials.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them, I feel like, this year.
Who is it this year? It was like some rockers.
The big one I feel like we've seen about 90 times is Journey and Def Leppard are coming to, I don't know where it is, somewhere in Michigan, but they show the commercial. And these dudes got to be about 80. Like, I don't know how their bodies can physically, like, hit drums and play guitar. I don't know, whatever. Play guitar anymore. How does he even travel?
Doesn't Def Leppard have the one-armed drummer?
Sure.
I think they do.
I wouldn't know from anything. But no, there's
a lot of work.
There's the it does feel like a lot of work. So there's the Illusionists. I believe they're coming to the Fox Theater. There's Hall & Oates and Train, which...
Oh, yeah. Hall & Oates and Train.
Don't even get me started there. And Disturbed and Godsmack are both coming to Soaring Eagle within 2 weeks. Are you a bit of an illusionist guy? I could see you going down the illusion road.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very cynical about magicians and illusionists. My daughter and I were kind of hooked on Magic's Biggest Secrets Finally Revealed on Netflix, which is pretty cool. And after you watch some of that, you're just kind of like, oh, they're doing this or they're doing that. You know, I'm not feeling the magic.
No, neither am I. I was mostly just being sarcastic, hoping anyway that I was being sarcastic. Right. But anyway, all these horrible events that are coming to Michigan, like, why are we not allowed to have nice things? Like, why are there no good acts coming to Detroit?
That's a fair question. Well, Jack White, I mean, that's kind of a thing. Is he good? I don't know. What are the kids like? Beyonce?
I the kids do like Beyonce, but the kids like Big Sean, who, as you've learned, is a rapper who is from Detroit.
Yeah.
But there is one that I wouldn't mind going to, and is actually at Comerica. It's the Zac Brown Band and One Republic. I'm not really big into the Zac Brown Band, but I do like One Republic. They're kind of chill and mellow. I don't like music that seems like, very yells safe. At me. That...
Yeah, you're non-confrontational.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway, brings us to this this week's leadoff question. What band or singer would you most like to see play Comerica?
Well, for me, I think the most important thing in a musical act at Comerica is that they are light and they don't have a lot of staging. Because I want to save my field for baseball. Because that's what a field is for. Don't wreck my grass. You'd think they'd have some technology at this point to not make the grass look like poop when they're done.
Like a hovering stage?
Well, even if you took metal bars and punctured them in the grass, but those are the weight-bearing things like that anchored down underneath the field or something like that. There'd be some technology, you know, like you lay a metal meshwork underneath the grass, and then you'd put the rods down into a receiving coupler down, and that would hold the staging and preserve your grass.
You should tweet that to Heather Nabosny.
Come on, Heather, try. This is a multi-million-dollar facility and big concert. Save our grass. I don't know. Musical act. I don't know.
The beef of the week has come early.
The Venga Boys. I don't know.
Is that a real group?
It's just like a cheesy dance group.
Oh, okay. So obviously we missed the big one a couple of years ago. Jay-Z and Eminem played Comerica. And, you know, I didn't win the lottery beforehand, so I was unable to actually attend that. Your boy Big Sean, I thought, would also be a possibility. And you know that I like Taylor Swift. She obviously could come to Detroit. That would be fun. But the big winner, obviously, the person that I'd most like to see would be Justin Timberlake, the Michael Jackson of our era. Most talented man in show business. Give me JT patrolling the stage in center field. That just feels like a natural fit.
I've kind of been into the Beatles lately. So I would like Paul McCartney. He's a fossil kind of now. You know, he's old, but he'd still be pretty solid. See a lot of his stuff.
How about just like the whole group?
Well, half of them are dead, so that's a little hard. But
R.I.P.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, JORDINHO, and then just the number 4. Eric is at Comeric Eric. Do you post on Instagram anymore?
Occasionally.
When you have a picture that the world needs to see?
Yeah. Yeah.
Facebook.com/podcastianos, and we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And if you do, make it funny and we will read them out. We had a run for a while where we were getting a bunch and we were reading them out, and that was fun. They've kind of slowed. So if you listen to the show and you haven't left us one, this might be a good time. Say something funny and we'll have a good laugh about it on next week's show.
We'll laugh even if it's fake.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannis.
So, speaking of funny, baseball is a funny game, wouldn't you say?
It is. It's downright whimsical and amusing.
This time last week, you and I were sitting here after watching our team fall to 4-9, and I was quietly starting to wonder, do we have a chance to get that first overall pick again? Then we bust out the whooping sticks and we reel off 5-7 this week, and suddenly we're 2.5 games out. It turns out the trick is to play teams that are actually worse than us.
I think it's become very clear where we fall in the pecking order of baseball. We are not as good as the Indians. We are better than the Orioles. And we are about as good as the Royals.
Does that feel true?
That feels kind of true. I think we're better than the lower 10% of the league. I think we're better than that. We're better than the Orioles, the Marlins, kind of some of the basements. Well, we're better than the White Sox, I feel like.
Thumb our nose at those teams.
Yeah, we're about as good as the Royals, but not as good as good teams. We're not good, but we're not, like, garbage.
We're not the worst.
Right.
So we're 3 full weeks in now. I feel like you can really kind of divide it up, like, good week, awful week, good week. Yep. Have we actually learned anything yet?
I think we, like I said, I think we're middle of the pack. We've been streaky, but it's been in the context of different series and facing different teams. So that has had a lot to do with it. The weather really had a lot to do with it. We couldn't hit worth a lick. There was a stat one time where, like, the average starting game time temperature for all our games was like 39 degrees or something like that. It was a little ridiculous. But we are 3 weeks into the season. We've played quite a few games. I think we're learning slowly who we are. We haven't run into a lot of good teams yet. We haven't played the Angels. We haven't played the Red Sox. We haven't played, you know, some of the big boppers.
And specifically, we haven't run into any real good pitching yet, which I think when we
outside of Kluber and Carrasco
and I would say they're good. And Junis and Skoglund, of course. I was actually kidding about Skoglund. Junis is actually a good pitcher.
Yeah, Skoglund should, or Skoglund, however you say his name. He shouldn't be good.
I have to admit, though, if he were a Tiger, I would be on the bandwagon. Give me the tall lefties with funky delivery. Like, I'm all about that. But you know how the guys that I'm all about end up turning out.
We'll talk about that later, maybe.
We will get to that. That's well built into this outline. But is it that simple that we are, you know, we beat the teams that aren't very good and we're going to lose all the time to any time we face a good starting pitcher? Because that's kind of how it's played out so far.
Well, I mean, you get some variation within that, but yeah, I think that's kind of where we sit. I mean, we don't have the firepower. We don't have the home runs to really compete with some of the big boppers. Our pitching is solid. Our starting pitching is solid, but our bullpen yet is got a couple of really good pieces, but still not overall to maintain, you know, winning in night in and night out. There's holes in our team. Power, bullpen, consistency is not going to be there.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting. I was listening to the game on the radio when I was running yesterday, and Dan and Jim were talking about how over the Royals series and then even back a little bit into the Orioles series, the 7, 8, 9 spots have just been killing it. I think it's really interesting. Like, we've spent so much time talking about the new kids coming in, all this, you know, the transition, and the guys that have actually made our lineup tick over have actually put, you know, runs on the board has been, you know, a combination of Iggy and McCann and Dixon and Jacoby, guys that we've essentially had here the whole time. I think it's really interesting that I feel like we've looked so far into the future that we have overlooked that these guys are still there. Like, obviously all those guys have flaws. None of those guys are right. Great players, but
they could be, you know, one or two WAR players. I mean, that's really what you're after, you know. And everybody wants the big free agents or developing the young guys who you catch as they ascend and get that value out of them as they hit their prime. I think I'll give Tokar some credit. David Tokar's on Twitter. His kind of theory is the new market inefficiency is these 2 or 3 WAR players. And if you can get them, if you can accumulate a whole team of these guys cheap enough, maybe you can put a team together that can compete, which is a little bit like what we're doing, but we don't have quite enough guys.
Yeah, and
so
the,
yeah,
the key would be to mix in a, you know, a couple of those guys right. with a couple of the ascending stars, which
yep.
we have some that are coming up. You know, it's certainly in Candelario, possibly in Dixon too, but the majority of those ascending stars are going to be on the pitching side. How close do you think we are to a 500 team this, just this year? How much improvement do we need to make to get to that magical 500 mark?
Things would really need to work out well. We'd need to get fortunate, and a lot of things would have to align to get us to be 500. The good things that have happened would have to continue, and a couple of the little flaws that we've had would have to get better. We'd have to hit for some more power.
And to be, to be to the, and the team's started. Credit, it has started again. Nick has finally started to yep. find that. I was reading a stat. I don't remember who it was by. I feel like I do this every week. I always have these stats that I hear that I don't remember who they're from, that Nick was actually second in baseball in hard contact percentage, which
the advanced metrics like hard hit rate love him. Barrels and all that kind of stuff. Those numbers all love Castellanos.
And we probably should get into this a different week because I didn't prepare anything, but it just always feels a little – his actual production always feels just a little bit short of that. Is that in a – I don't know. We shouldn't get into this because this is a deep topic.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah, it gets a little number heavy. We'll have our people look into it for you.
Yes, and if you want to be part of the group that is considered our people, feel free to look into
if you
it.
If you want to be the our people, please.
By all means. So a big part of this week's success, of course, was Jacoby Jones. Double, triple, two homers, one, of course, being a walk-off because he was hungry. He's looking more comfortable up there on 420 when he's you know not hungry. And the big thing, still only 9 strikeouts all season. I feel like I've asked you this question before, but I'm gonna ask it again. What more do you need to see from him before you're fully willing to jump on board?
I'm jumping on.
Are you?
I've already jumped. I've decided. He is giving us everything we would have hoped for with Mikey Mahtuk.
Definitely.
Yeah. Power, some defensive prowess, speed. I think he's faster. He's faster than Mikey for sure.
Oh, definitely.
He makes SH expletive complete happen, which is kind of his thing. I could see myself going to the ballpark with a big Jacoby make S happen sign. I could get into that. No, he's been fun to watch, hasn't he?
Yes, I actually have that on my note. I feel like he exemplifies the new, like, fun to watch Tigers. Like, we're not great, but all of a sudden there's reason to turn them on other than to see Johnny Cain eating something weird or wearing a unicorn hat.
You are excited when he comes to the plate. If I'm kind of doing some chores around the house with a game on and Jacoby comes up, or frankly, if Dixon comes up, those are the guys I want to pay attention to. I want to see what they're going to do.
Yeah. Obviously, to answer my own question, what I would need to see before I jump on board, I want to see a month of this. I want to see a month and a half, 2 months of this.
Right.
I came into last year, and you remember this, Jacoby was my guy. Like, I wanted him to make, you know, break camp with the club. I don't know where I fell off the bandwagon, but I'm off. The contact rates have been up. I mean, he looks like he has more of a clue what he's doing. And, you know, Rod talks about it all the time. That's due to all the hard work that he put in with Lloyd. I don't know. There's just something about
it. The approach is so much better.
Yeah, I mean, the approach couldn't have gotten much worse from last year. It feels like a hot streak to me. And you know, bad players have hot streaks like this where they just kind of go unconscious. True. I want it real bad to be true because I've always liked him. He seems like a, you know, like you say, he makes stuff happen. But
yeah, he's a perfect size snake. I mean, he's toolsy.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And truly, even if he doesn't ever hit for average, say he hits for 250 with some pop and with some speed and plays an amazing center field. That's okay. Like, that is a person you can have in your lineup when you don't have a hole at shortstop, a hole behind the plate, a hole, Right. You know, not saying Dixon as a whole, but, you know, when there are complementary pieces, you can have guys like Dixon as your nine hitter and Jacoby Jones as mostly a defensive first center fielder with, you know, and anything you get offensively from him as a bonus.
He's a nice piece. Yeah. We'll see. Like you say, we'll watch over the next several weeks and see if this holds up.
And I don't mean to poo-poo him because I very much want for this to be real. I'm hesitant to jump back in. Okay. And in, you know, in 3 weeks, if he's still, you know, hitting 270 and is driving in runs from the sixth spot, I probably will be leading the charge.
Thank you, Captain Wet Blanket. Appreciate that. Continue.
That's not usually my role. I'm a little uncomfortable with this. Usually I'm the one saying, back off my guy. Right. So let's move on. Michael Gerber came up. It was a little odd. Came up for the doubleheader as the 26th man. Everyone and their brother assumed, okay, he'll start one of the two games. And then he came in as a pinch runner for Miguel. And Gardy's quote, paraphrasing something to the effect of he'll be able to put on the back of his bubble gum card that he pinch ran for Hall of Famer.
Right. Okay, so after the game, Gerbs either asked or somehow talked to Cabrera about getting a ball signed by Cabrera. And Cabrera was very gracious and then gave him a bat too. Now, is that a cool thing to do as your first big league game coming up in your locker room? Or do you have to, you know, fake it till you make it? Do you have to act the part like, yeah, I'm a big leaguer. I don't need Miguel Cabrera's autograph because I'm, you know, I belong here just as much as he does. What would be your take?
I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I think there's something in the moment about it. Like, I got this bat signed from him after my major league debut or whatever. Yeah. Because obviously they've shared a clubhouse before. You know, Gerber was there through spring training and whatnot. It's not like he didn't know Cabrera or had never met him.
That's true. It's not like he's fanboying.
Exactly.
I think he's probably just trying to mark his moment of the first insertion into a game. Exactly. I could get that.
Yeah.
But I also found it a little peculiar. But when you frame it in that way, I guess it makes more sense.
And I do think there is something to the fake it till you make it type of deal. Like if he came into spring training and did that, I would be a little bit concerned that maybe he just doesn't have what it takes. I don't know. But obviously he is back up now. I thought it was curious. The options for, you know, bringing somebody up for the NL road trip is, you know, the choices are minimal. But, you know, Hook's probably not going to enjoy hearing this. But Gerbs is hitting like .190 down in Toledo. He's not exactly lighting the world on fire.
Right.
There aren't a lot of other options. Just it's interesting, and obviously it's rooted in the Verhagen DFA, which we'll get into here in a second. I don't know. I find the timing curious, I guess. Whereas I saw somebody was talking about possibly they should have used or brought up either Pete Cosmo or Ronnie Rodriguez, just give themselves a little more positional versatility.
No, Pete Cosmo's useless. Ronnie Rod. I don't know. Maybe they fill in defensively an inning or something like that. But Gerbs is just as useful as a pinch runner and as a pinch hitter late in games in a National League game. Gerbs is fine. I mean, you're going to call up a live body to do some of those things for you. And Gerbs is as good a choice as any. The Verhagen DFA baffled people a little bit more than who they called up to replace him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that.
Why wouldn't you just ride it out with Verhagen?
Yeah, I mean, they are, like I said, they are coming into the Pirates series, so you probably want an additional bat off the bench. I wouldn't have been surprised if Grayson Griner was the choice, but he'd
give you another catcher. Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
So let's move on to this Verhagen thing. Obviously, anyone who's ever listened to this show knows that Verhagen is my guy.
Your boy.
I don't know exactly when this started. I've always thought of myself as liking him a little bit more than most people, but it's gotten to the point where I am apparently the only one who likes him anymore. It was. I found this. Go ahead.
Are you willing to even let the concept or let the thought flitter through your mind that perhaps Verhagen just isn't as good as you think he is?
Believe me, I've thought it. The thing is he still yielding a 182 batting average against? Here's my thing. It's not necessarily that Verhagen is good. It's just that I don't understand the thought process. Like, he was the eighth inning man on opening day. At that point, we knew exactly what he was. He was a pitcher with limited experience relieving who had good stuff and was prone to pretty substantial blowouts, mostly fueled by walks. What have we seen since then? A guy who's had great success at getting out of some innings, who's had a couple blowups due to walks. Like, for him to be the second
walks
best reliever
are still bad.
Yes,
you can't have a guy who walks.
But Gardenhire knew what he was dealing with on opening day. We're three weeks later, and now he's unrosterable. Like,
we're gonna have a turd on our roster, but it's okay because I know turd smell. No, that doesn't make any sense. You don't want turds around.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. If he's a turd now, he was a turd 3 weeks ago when he was being used as an eighth inning man.
Maybe they should have taken Blaine instead of him.
Well,
I'm not saying the results have not been there.
He has alternated great appearance with terrible appearance. If he could, we can go back and forth on him all day. My thought is, how did he become unrosterable 3 weeks of typical Verhagen into, you know, after he was the opening day eighth inning man?
All right, now following your line of logic,
yes,
he will get picked up by a team on waivers, right? If he has got the equipment that you think he does, he'll get picked up. However, if he passes through waivers unclaimed, that would seem to substantiate that most teams are not thinking that this is a guy we need to have.
It also,
so we shall see.
It could suggest that they passed him through at a right time when nobody has an open 40 man. I mean, there are.
Okay.
But
right.
I definitely understand your logic, and there are certainly.
Would you be surprised if he goes through waivers unclaimed?
I'd be a little surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I am shocked. But I'd be surprised.
Okay. We shall see. He might be terrorizing us the rest of the year, but we'll see.
I would take just the tiny bit of joy from that.
If he got claimed, yeah.
My thought is, it just feels so knee jerk. It feels like yesterday he was awful. We're recording on Monday. The Sunday game, I will concede that. I don't know. It feels like Gardenhire is, you know, he's an experienced enough manager. He should be able to see the forest for the trees. Like the Blaine thing. Like, there's been a lot of talk about him coming back. If he's coming back 3 weeks into the season, why was he DFA'd in the first place? He should have been on the 40. Like, he's had three good weeks at Toledo. He's been really good. But has our perception of Blaine Hardy changed over the last 3 weeks? Like, he has done what Blaine Hardy does. Like, his success at Toledo doesn't change anything that we know to be true about him. If he's major league ready now, you know, to be one of our top 25 guys, he was ready to be one of the top 40 guys 3 weeks ago.
I guarantee you that if Verhagen passes through waivers, goes to Toledo, puts up over 3 weeks a 0.64 ERA like Blaine has, he'll be back in the good graces of everybody, and they'll be clamoring to have Drew Verhagen back up.
I mean, I feel like they're a little bit different case, because Verhagen is a little bit less experienced as a reliever. You still have that, okay, now he's fully focused as a reliever. You know, is he going to take a step to the next level? But you know exactly what Blaine is. Blaine has been the same thing for 7 years. I don't understand how – I mean, obviously, we love Blaine, and was it tonight that he was dealing? He threw, six shutout innings as a starter.
I'm committed to the idea that Blaine is good.
Obviously, we want Blaine. Okay, we talked about the idea of being good. Results would suggest that Alex Wilson is no longer good. And if you're being honest with yourself, you can make a pretty good case that Alex Wilson hasn't been good for kind of a while now. Do we need to just get used to the fact that Alex Wilson isn't good?
Oh, but he's a bulldog. but he can just go out and bulldog all the hitters with his bulldogging-ness. I get a little sick tired of that narrative. He was first or second in the league in hard hit balls against. That's like he's kind of getting drummed. What do you do? The guy has been a soldier for you, right?
That's the problem.
He's pitched a ton of innings. He's performed well, but yeah, you see, it's not there. And how many guys can you protect for a cleanup style role, right? Once you get past Green, Jimenez, and Stumpf, you got to use your other guys.
Warwick is the next most reliable at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was discussing this with my dad today, and he had a good point about Avila. Like, at least he isn't being indecisive. Like, Verhagen has been terrible. He made a move. Like, I don't agree with the move. He didn't mess around, and it'll be a good test of that. You know,
he is less likely to try to hide guys.
Yes, certainly.
Either
than Dave
on
was.
The bench or in the middle or back of the in the bullpen, just try to protect him for a couple weeks and, you know, hang on, hope they find form. No, unless you're indispensable, you're getting dispensed.
Yeah,
you know?
And if Alex keeps going like he has been, I mean, a month from now, would you be surprised if Alex Wilson wasn't with the club?
You wouldn't be surprised, I suppose.
And I think it's really funny. We just talked about not hiding guys. When's the last time we've seen Victor Reyes?
Well, yeah. Well, that's a different case. And you and I have both advocated for not hiding him on the roster.
Yes. He is some might call hashtag bad at baseball.
He's got a little bit of Darko going on, right? The human either victory cigar or white flag. If you see Victor Reyes in a game, we've either won or stopped trying.
But he looks so good in batting practice and running the bases.
Stop it with Victor Reyes.
Okay, let's move on to your power rankings.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Power rankings. We're not doing power rankings. We got beef of the week.
Beef of the week. Where is my
beef
head?
Of the week? So let me tell you about this week's beef of the week. The weather's been nicer, so I've been going around my home, kind of taking inventory of the damage that winter has wrought. Okay, and around my home, I have kind of in the back. There's a little strip of woods. There's like a ravine, and this area is filthy with turkeys, wild turkeys. And you think the turkeys would just stay in turkey space and the people would stay in people space? No. The turkeys are coming up and getting all up into my landscaping and my business. And I also have wood chips around my home, like a civilized suburban man would, obviously. And the turkeys are pawing at it with their spurs and their little turkey hooves or whatever they have, and they're pawing up the wood chips and they're pecking on it. I think they're trying to get like bugs or grubs, and they eat these things. But they're spraying my wood chips all over the grass. So I come with my little rake them back in. Here come the turkeys again. Flip, 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 pawing at it like some kind of rabid turkey dog. And you think maybe just in the back. No, they're coming in the front. They're brazen. These turkeys, and they're destroying my landscaping. You know, today is the opening day of turkey hunting in Michigan, and these hunters are going to don their camouflaged vestments, and they're going to tally forth into the field in search of the elusive turkey. No, these things are they're under my deck. They're 5 feet from where I sit. Like, just open the door and shoot them with a gun. Like, it's out of your window. You don't need to hunt them. You just sit in a house and drink a beer until they show up and you kill them. Ah, stupid turkeys. That's beef of the week.
So essentially, the turkeys are making more yard work for you, and that's the problem here.
Yeah, they're making it look bad. They're scratching up all my dirt and wood chips. Stay in turkey space, turkeys. This is people space where the people live.
Now, if you could translate that into turkey, I feel like you'd have a better chance. And, of course, get them, you know, iPhones so that they can download, yeah. Subscribe.
Just open my window and just be like,
yeah.
Get away, turkeys. That's turkey speak for get away.
I figured. I mean, I'd recognize that anywhere.
Yeah, stupid turkeys.
Okay, so no stories from the side of the road. I did see, are a muffler and a tailpipe the same thing?
No, the muffler is the more elliptical, bulbous piece. And the tailpipe is the exhaust tubing. That kind of after the muffler would come the tailpipe. The rest is just like exhaust.
I think I saw both on the side of the road.
Usually they fall off together.
I am not a car expert though. So, but I have a different thing because I haven't really seen anything interesting other than that. I've titled it Fire Takes from Below the Line. I don't know if you've ever been on the internet, but when people comment on things, sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's ridiculous. And when it comes to posting on, you know, posts regarding tigers, sometimes they just bring the fire takes. So I have four fire takes from Below the Lines. These are actually all from Facebook because I didn't need to go any further than Facebook to make this bit work.
So I feel like this is kind of MLive commenter type stuff.
Yeah.
You used to find all the trash comments on MLive. I feel like it's gotten a little better, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tracking with you.
We're making fun of the stupid things people say online. I mean, that is summing this bit up. Okay. The first one comes from a Saturday game recap on Bless You Boys. And this is the take. I didn't include any names because
That's benevolent of you.
Yeah. This is, and I quote, "You can tell Gardy put his stamp on this team in spring training. They play the right way and have fun doing so. Plus, you got rid of, get this, the four cancers from last year, JV, Ian, Upton, and JD. Just win series, boys."
Those were the cancers on the team.
The talent from last year's team was, in fact, the problem.
You know, that is incredibly stupid because those are four very talented ball players. However, would it surprise you it wouldn't surprise me that much if this year's team was better than last year's.
I mean, it's certainly true. And
we had the worst record in baseball last year with those guys. Maybe Facebook commenter is right.
I mean, I suppose I do think there is a little bit to the Kinsler thing. I feel like the mood in the locker room can't be any worse with him gone. He came across as sulking the entire year last year. Like
he has kind of a biting, brooding kind of sense of humor and about him.
And
I think he's a decent guy. I think he's a nice guy. It's just he's got a very kind of cutting kind of sense of humor, I think.
Yeah. Okay, next one. This is from the Tigers. They posted the picture, Tigers drop series finale versus Royals. So this would have been from yesterday. And I quote, "Bullpen strikes again. Second, B, comma, own, win." Oh, that should be, I'm assuming that should be blown. Second blown win in four games. What a bunch of crappy losers they are. Same problem the team's had for 6 years and refused to fix it. Can someone say stupid in all caps?
Occasionally the bullpen is bad. I mean, if we didn't have good bullpens with lots of money, what makes you think, random commenter, we're going to have an exceptional bullpen with no money?
And the bullpen actually has been pretty decent. Let's
we have a couple horses in the bullpen.
The next one is a video that the Tigers posted of Jimmy Howard, who is the goalkeeper from the Red Wings, throwing out the first pitch. This is the comment, and I quote, "Don't worry, our bullpen will give you at least 10 additional runs. Tigers fans," in all caps. I don't know what that means.
The bullpen will give us 10 additional runs?
Tigers what? Fans.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's why I made the list. And the last one. This one, I believe, was from Saturday. The Tigers posted a picture of the of Comerica, and it's empty. Like, it's clearly a shot from before
the game,
before gates are open. And this isn't the one that I'm going to read, but there were several commenting, "Oh, no one's there." Well, yeah, there's literally nobody in the stands in that picture. There is no one there.
Right.
But this is the comment. "My son is supposed to be there. He's stuck on an elevator in the Ford Field garage." Later, this is commented. This is commented by the same person on the original commented. "Nothing. He was stuck in there for an hour and a half. Him and 9 of his friends. They deserve something."
Okay, listen though. If your son is trapped in an elevator and you're having communication with him, what is your first impulse?
To post on Facebook.
Put it on Facebook? Wouldn't you just like want to try to contact the club? Or this person obviously has a cellular telephone in the elevator to let dad know about it. Like, wouldn't there be other ways to try to fix the problem?
No. Facebook customer service is definitely the best way.
Although with some like 1-800 customer service numbers, if I was stuck on an elevator, maybe it would be faster to tweet the person to try to get some help.
Should have tweeted Johnny Kane. Johnny Kane would have come and rescued them
and bring him a Nutella egg roll on his way.
All right, let's move on to Twitter questions.
Good job, Jordan.
Thank you.
I affirm you.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
The first one comes in from Deb Klug. She asked us, question for the podcast, how did you two meet, and how did the podcast come to be?
Are you going to say, or am I going to say, or what?
I mean, there's not a whole lot. I can say it.
Basically, Jordan hounded me for like a year to do a podcast, and I was like, no, no, no. And then I was finally like, oh, all right, let's give it a shot. I think that's how I remember it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then the rest is history.
Oh, I came on your Bros podcast.
Yeah, prior to this show, I had a Sports Bros podcast. It was very similar in nature to this one, but we covered all the sports. And yeah, you came on that. We specifically talked Tigers. Yeah, it just got to the point with that one, like, I don't watch any other sports but baseball and soccer, so it was hard to have a podcast talking about all of the sports. And plus...
Pretty far afield, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
The next one is from Nicholas Haller. Will the Red Sox go 35-5? Also, is the Matuk experiment over?
The Red Sox won't, because it's very hard to win that many games. So they would have to basically do what they did and then do it over again. Right. Yeah, so no to the White Sox. Is the Mikey Matuk experience over? No, it is not over.
I think we're coming dangerously close to it, in fact, being over. And I don't want that to be the case. But he's a mess, even down in Toledo. Like, I told you last week that I thought that them sending him down when they did was a sign that they still believe something could be salvaged. I don't know. He's been.
So you changed your mind since then?
Oh no! Just we're not going to see him again until he starts to hit. And as he's going right now, he's actively getting worse. So
I don't think it's over. I think we see Mikey again.
Hopefully, I like him, and I do think there's a good player in there somewhere if he just can get out of his own head.
Yeah.
At BlazeFire84 says, every time I see Justin Verlander now, I break down sobbing. Can you recommend a brand of antidepressant? Ask my daughter or a doctor. Ask my daughter about it. Ask my doctor about. As a matter of fact, I can.
You know, maybe not right to the pharmaceuticals. You know, try talking with somebody. You know, go for a walk. You know, don't hit the bottle right away. There's nothing wrong with that. you know, but maybe not for your missing Verlander, right? So maybe save pharmaceuticals for true health problems.
Yeah. Imbalance.
I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but, you know, let's keep mental health and missing Verlander.
To be fair to at Blaze Fire 84, I don't think he was actually being serious. But yeah, no, mental health is a very serious, very serious issue.
Well, pull it together with your questions, Blaze Fire 64. 84. Maybe he has his.
He's not old as you.
You think Blaze Fire has his own style of medication? That kind of name,
possibly. It's a good
celebrating
time.
420.
It's a good time of year for him. Yeah, we're just assigning illegal habits to our listeners now. Evan Ken at 95 asks us, "How is me, Jordan Hall 23, doing after hearing that Drew Verhagen was DFA'd?"
I'm
bummed. Like he's one of my guys. I feel like I like Drew more than I liked Pelfrey. Pelfrey is a guy that I thought was better than everyone said he was. Turned out that was incorrect. Whereas I think the same thing of Drew, and I actually like Drew too. He seems like a good guy. He came back from a really difficult injury last year. I want him.
He's
to
one of
succeed.
The few ball players I've talked to.
Yeah,
I talked to him and Blaine actually when they're in West Michigan. We chit chatted for a while. That's always nice. I'd be a horrible reporter. I'd be a horrible beat reporter because I would love the guys who are nice and chatty, and I would hate the guys who are jerks. And that would be very transparent in how I wrote about them. I would not be even handed at all.
Now, how would you feel about the players that are fat?
If you're wondering why we're laughing, this is with like a Lynn Henning joke. Lynn Henning is beating the drum of slenderness. He wants his players slender. It's been a recurring theme. So we have laughs at Lynn Henning.
That's
love funny. You. Dude. I try to be gentle, but also like jump on him every time he does it. I can't help myself.
Well, I'd love to get you and Lynn in a virtual Skype room. We need to make that happen at some point.
I've met him a couple times. We've talked. He is what you see online is kind of what you get with Lynn. He's authentic to the bone. There's no pretense there. I mean, it's just Lynn being the character that he is. He's a nice guy. He's super nice. Wouldn't harm a fly. Wouldn't say anything bad about thin people. I mean, he's fine. He's fine. He helps new people, and he's just a little antiquated in particular about how he goes about things.
I feel like the word superfluous just covers
He's running through his mental thesaurus every time he's, you know, writing something.
Jeremy Troya, the better of the Troya brothers, asks, "Are you guys surprised? Are you guys as surprised? I'm a terrible reader, apparently. Are you guys as surprised about the team's competitiveness as I am? Even though I know they're not a playoff team, I'm actively rooting, and I'm actively rooting for tanking. It has been a fun team to watch."
So we would have to know Jeremy's exact level of expectation to compare it to ours accurately. You know, I want to answer these questions faithfully, Jordan. I don't know.
Of course.
We can't answer. But what's the premise of it? Is he surprised that the Tigers are this good?
Yes. I'm not surprised that they've been this good so far just because of the caliber of competition we've played.
We've played some dogs.
So
right?
not to pour cold water on the finish that metaphor however you will. Like I said many times, sports is about moments. We've had a lot of fun the last week. Let's enjoy that. Our buddy sure. Jake Skoronek asks, "When will Spurs win a trophy? When will one of my teams win anything? It's been years," which just sounds like pure desperation. Here's the thing.
To clarify this, though, this is not the Greg Popovich San Antonio Spurs.
No.
This is Tottenham Hotspur, which is an English soccer team.
Who Man United put out of the FA Cup semifinal on Saturday. I believe that's why he's asking me specifically that question. I kid. Here's the thing. your team is very good, and you have a lot of good young players who for some reason does seem like they're going to stick around. Like eventually,
does Harry Kane play for that team?
He does.
He's good.
He is very good. Dele Alli is one of my favorite players in the Premier League. Like, all the Spurs fans love him. It seems like everyone else hates him because he's very divey and he's always in the middle of everything.
Dele Alli. He's awful.
When he's on the field, something is going to happen. Like, it's not always going to be good for his team,
yeah,
but
something
is going to happen. I very much enjoy watching him play, even against United. I don't care. But here's the thing. I don't know who else you follow. Virginia clearly is not going to be winning anything anytime soon, so I'd go ahead and punt on that one. But Spurs are going to run into an FA Cup or a League Cup or something here at some point.
They're not one of the big four, but they're just on the cusp of where they would swoop in and get something in the next decade.
Yeah, exactly. Next one comes from David Nowashevsky at DNowashevsky 12. Forgive me if I pronounce that incorrectly. How many more good starts do we need from Norris before he makes the rotation? And two, who will replace Arsene Wenger? Another soccer question. Forthcoming leaving Arsenal manager.
The thing with Norris is not how good Norris is, but how bad somebody else is.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be two or three bad starts by one of our other five guys and Norris even doing mediocre work, and Norris would get a chance at that spot, or one of the guys gets hurt or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's less about Norris and more about the other guys, which it was when he was left out in the cold for a spot before.
Yeah. And I mean, if he just comes out and starts throwing dimes, like, I could see them making a move to maybe ditch Fires. But I mean, it would take him being really, I mean, it would take him forcing their hand, essentially.
Yeah, I think one of the other guys would just have to scuffle for some kind of swap. But yeah same. Yeah.
And who would replace Arsene Wenger? I think the continuity choice would be somebody like Carlo Ancelotti. I don't know. It's just not that great of a job. Like,
see, the thing with Arsenal and Arsene Wenger. Yeah. So I could always remember who the manager was because Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, they go together. So you need somebody with Arsene to take over. So that's obviously Arsenio Hall.
I wonder if they've even considered that.
Got it. You know, just so we remember who it is. Somebody on Twitter tweeted me a picture of Arsenio Hall. It's like, oh, this is who it's going to be. And yeah, you gotta share those first syllables.
It has to be that way.
I can remember.
You know who I think could be a sleeper candidate is your boy, Rafa Benitez. I think that would be a great
fit.
Somebody who's won in the Premier League a lot.
Don't take Rafa. You know that song, Jolene? No, you don't know anything about music.
No.
Jolene, Jolene, please don't take my man, even though you can. That's how I am Dolly Parton, and I'm singing my heart out to Rafa Benitez or whoever is going to swoop in and get Rafa. Please don't take him, even though you can. All right, leave us Rafa, please.
Yeah, we'll see. The right choice is Julian Nagelsmann from Hoffenheim. He's one of those newfangled, you know, laptop managers that, you know, play with, you know, have advanced tactics and stuff like that. But I think that's a little bit too far outside the box for Arsenal.
So Saber is getting into the soccer world. Is that?
Oh yeah, funny? Yeah, definitely. Next one.
Doesn't Billy Beane own a team or is partnering on a team?
Yes, I don't know. I don't know which one, but I do believe you are correct.
Europe has 300,000 soccer teams.
Yes.
They have an ungodly number of soccer teams.
He definitely didn't buy a second tier team. I'm sure of that. So
there's plenty of soccer teams. Everybody can have one. I mean, it's fine.
Ryan Fowler at Fowla asked us. I'm pretty sure I heard Jim Price start to pronounce Nick Castellanos' name correctly the other day. Was I imagining things? When did this start? Why now? Was it a fluke, or has he repeated this feat?
I think he's getting there. How many times have you heard Martin instead of Martine?
Well,
a lot.
I think the whole Simon, Alfredo Simon thing really messed with Jim's head, because I'm sure he was probably thinking like Simone Martin. Like, he's a confusable old man. Let's be honest.
Yeah. He, it was some player for the other team that he tried to say it, and he just butchered it, and I was like, okay, whatever.
Well, did you hear Trevor Thompson butcher Nolan Arenado's name? I'm like, no. Trevor, he is legitimately an MVP candidate. Yeah, you need to know how to pronounce that name. He is so good for you to have no idea who he is.
Sure.
I bet Johnny Kane knows how to say it. David Bratz at Detroit fan in DFW. Two questions. First one's for you. For tonight's podcast, is Eric's new favorite song Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fires, or does he prefer Bruce Springsteen I'm on Fires? I'd include Jerry Lee Lewis's Great Ball of Fire.
Balls of Fire.
But
yeah.
I think the answer could get the podcast an R rating. Musics.
So just a lot of songs that have fires in the name. That's where we're going with this. Of those songs, Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire is the best of those, of that bunch, I would say. Yeah, I'm digging that song.
One time when we were when Whitney and I were driving down to her parents, we both like history. We're a little bit on the nerdy side, but she got out the lyrics to the
We Didn't Start the Fire,
and we actually like went through each individual reference. It's a 4-hour trip down to her house. We had plenty of time. It's interesting. Like it covers so much ground. It's crazy.
You could get yourself into a nice Wikipedia, lost in Wikipedia, starting from that song. If you're ever trying to kill time, Wikipedia and go through it. And
you know what I spend a lot of time looking at is the rosters of European basketball teams. Like looking, oh, I remember him from when he played at DePaul 6 years ago. Like,
I find it fascinating that Barcelona has a basketball team. Mm-hmm. Like they're like a sporting club. You think of them like, oh, they have this soccer team that's one of the best 3 or 4 soccer teams in the world. Well, they have a basketball team, and they have guys that don't make the NBA. And I just think that's funny.
I'm curious how many people in Barcelona care even a little bit that Barcelona has a basketball team. I'm sure there are some, but I imagine the ratio is not real high.
You don't think they can fill Camp Nou or whatever for a basketball game?
I wouldn't think so. Also, nice Spanish pronunciation there. This has been a very soccery show.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sure like 4 people love it, and everyone else is hating it.
Yeah, sorry. Deal with it. It's free.
David also asked us for the podcast, are we better off trading Shane Green, or do we keep him at the deadline, thinking, one, we have him under team control through 2020, which I think is the most optimistic point. We will be good again. And two, a bullpen of him and Joe would be awesome.
I think you've seen it already this year. Shane Green has filthy stuff and could be a elite closer. But I think we've also seen just a few little cracks in the armor. So I think the combination of maybe a few little weaknesses combined with the fact that we don't need a top-notch closer for a few years. And if the price is right, you move Green.
Yeah.
You don't give them away, but you move them if the price is right.
I'm going to come across as a little bit of a Green apologist right here, but Shane Green has had trouble with feeling in his fingertips. It is extremely hard to feel the ball in the cold with normal feeling in your fingertips. I'm willing to look past a little bit of some of the command issues he's had to assume that he's going to get a better grip and a better feel of the ball as things get warmer. Obviously,
now, you think if he put on some weight, that extra insulation would keep his body core temperature warmer, give him a better feel, and make him a better pitcher?
But he'd piss off Lynn. It's give and take.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I'm going with this. It works for Bartolo.
It certainly does for old Bart. At Blastianos _ asks, thoughts on Jacoby Jones right now?
Yeah, we went over this. We think he's great.
Yeah.
Probably for a while.
You think he's great. I'm riding the fence. Yeah. Brett Yoder asked us, is it wrong of me to irrationally hate Mike Fiers because he looks like Mike Avilas?
You know, love who you want to love, hate who you want to hate, live and let die.
That seems
or
fair.
Something.
David Cook 19 at David Cook 1959 says, how many wins would it take for the Tigers fans to be upset when they're sellers at the trade deadline?
I don't know. Depends. I don't know the math on this. I don't know how many games are played at the trade deadline, but if we are, 4 or 5 games over 500, I mean, would fans get a little pissy if you sold? I for sure, if you're under 500, you're sellers, right?
I don't see there being any feasible course that gets us to the trade deadline where it's not obvious that we need to be sellers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just don't see it being a possibility that we enter the trade deadline
because the whole
in contention.
Right. Because the whole calculus is slid down to predispose you to selling. Mm-hmm. What would it take for our team to be buyers? It would have to be
a minor miracle.
We'd have to be in first place by 3 or 4 games to be buyers at the deadline, right?
Definitely agree with that. And I think it might even take more than that.
Right, because the whole math is like way down. So if we're 3 or 4 or 5 games over 500 and we're not in first place or whatever, we're still selling.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably. And last one comes from Nicholas Haller again. Next Tigers prospect to debut.
Next Tigers prospect to debut. Oh man, I have to look at the list. Who do you got? You have anybody?
I think
Kristen Stewart.
Stewart, I think, would be kind of the obvious choice. I'm going to go with an outside the box choice and go with Dowell Lugo.
A lot of people are loving Lugo.
If there's an injury up the middle, I think he's going to get the call
over Ronnie Rodd.
I think over Ronnie Rodd, yeah. Here's the thing. Like, he's just another guy that needs at-bats. If they can, you know, if Iglesias or Dixon get hurt and there is an open spot to play more or less every day, I think he gets the call. I don't think they're going to try Nico as an everyday guy in one of the middle infield spots.
Also, a good prediction would be Grayson Griner.
Yeah, definitely. The aforementioned Grayson Griner's got 2 mentions on this show. You believe that?
I can. He's a big man. He's like 6'7".
He's sizable.
Big dude.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or however you listen to the show. That is how we rise up the charts and make all of the cash that we take home to fuel our Spotify playlists.
I'm having trouble getting out of my garage lately with all the groupies, you know, just at my door, like, let me through. You know, I got stuff to do, groupies.
It's due to all those reviews, all those ratings, all those reviews. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the night?
If you know any turkeys, tell them to stay away from my house.
You are so heated about the turkeys.
Go away to turkey land, stupid turkeys. No, that's it.
Turkeys are magnificent animals. Why don't you just respect them? Take a picture of them. Take a picture with them.
No, they're good for eating and staying away from my house. That's all they're good for.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.